aboard, dear people. It is the Starship Rokan Show, off for another day of broadcast insolence. And I want to thank everybody who came out to the Carnarvon Express on Friday. Over 3,500 toys raised, over $3,000 also raised at the event that was given by check or by cash to the United States Marine Corps. So I want to thank everybody who did that. That is that's certainly our biggest haul here at WGN, and it is it's also the largest single day event that happens for that particular Marine unit, the 224, every year. They also have a really great motorcycle ride, but that's a lot of stuff is raised in advance of that. So in a single day haul, this is the biggest. So I want to thank everybody for taking part in that, and it was just amazing to see that pile get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger in those Chevy Silverados, thanks to Apple Chevrolet, and again to John Alfirovich for all the stuff that that he provided for us. And it was just such an amazing thing. And the Ides of March, I should thank them as well. They have been with this cause and me for the majority of the last 20 years, and I really appreciate Jim Peterick and all the guys there who have made this such a special event. So we look forward to doing it again next year. Now, so just to let you know what happened after the show. The radio broadcast ended at 5:30. There was a concert by the Ides of March. A bunch of people hung out, and we took pictures, and we hung out, and then we took the show across the street to a bar. I know, hard to believe, and we had a long evening. Thank God we had all had automobiles picking us up and taking us away that we weren't driving. And then the next thing you know, the next day, Kevin and Lauren get on an airplane to go to Mexico because they're there for Socks on the Beach. Now, I just want to say that they were in no condition to get on an airplane, let alone into the backseat of a car. But I just want to say that now I have seen pictures, and apparently the partying never ended because you went right from the whatever the hell that thing was late Friday night into Saturday morning to an airport. And now I'm looking at pictures on Instagram of the two of you behaving in a way that's making us all feel jealous.
I'm actually not quite sure what day it is. Like Thursday?
Yes, it's Thursday. All right, so now you're there. Let's just do a little bit of business here first before we get into what it was that that you're doing, that you did there. This is for the White Sox, right? We mm-hmm. gave away, we actually sold, and I believe there were some winners as well who
went. Yeah, we actually met one of the winners this morning.
Oh, wow.
Just so happened to sit next to them at the pool for a second.
Oh, how about that? So this was, so you guys are in Cancun at a hotel. It's you, and, mm-hmm. and who are the White Sox who are there?
So we have James McCann here with his wife, met his little twins, adorable. We have Dylan Beast, he's here. We have Ron Kill, we have Harold Baines, and Ozzy Gann. So it's already been quite the party, as you can imagine.
Oh, Ozzy Gann, wherever Ozzy is, there's a party. that is the truth. And so you and Kevin are, now Kevin, I'm going to talk to you a little bit later on. And now remember, mm-hmm. I'm going to be talking to Kevin, and his answers better line up with your answers. That's all I want to say.
Oh.
About
well,
that.
We're already sitting next to each other on purpose so that we make sure that that's the case.
That's interesting. There was a big reception last night, big party last night, was there?
Yeah, a nice welcome party mm-hmm. out on the lawn. Obviously, it's a beautiful night here. It's just like kind of a chilly, maybe upper 70s at night. but it was nice. You know, we had drinks, a little set up bar, and some fun giveaway prizes. So it was a good time for people to mingle and introduce themselves to, you know, the players, us, and just kind of, you know, enjoy the first night.
Okay. All right. So I just saw some of the pictures on social media, and I just want to say that I don't trust anything that's going on there. That's all I want.
Which part? Like the super blue water or the cresting waves? Or the accidentally broken wine glass.
All of the above, Ms. Lapka. We're watching you. Even though you're not here, we are watching you in Mexico, and we'll be checking in. We're going to be checking in with Kevin a little bit later on and finding out exactly what went on there. And we want to thank the Chicago White Sox. And, of course, remember, Chicago White Sox baseball is heard right here on 720 WGN. And that starts in February in the preseason. All right. Thanks, Lauren. Goodbye. Good luck.
All right. Have fun.
Yes,
bye.
I wish her good luck because I, honest to God, think that she's going to need it. Roger Badish has the traffic and the weather right now.
And for news at 10, watch WGN. Mike and Mater, Joe Donlan, Dan Ronan, Chicago's most trusted meteorologist, Tom Skilling. For TV news at 10, watch Chicago's very own WGN.
All right. Ben Bradley is going to join us here. I did notice as I looked up at the screen, there is no Ben Bradley there. There's just a big, big empty hole where he normally would be. What happened to Ben Bradley? Oh, hold on a second.
He's in Mexico with Lauren and Kevin.
I mean, that could be the case. Are you there?
Hello,
Ben?
Can you hear me? I'm on the beach with Lauren and Kevin. We had a great flight. Hold on. Maybe you can hear the waves.
Oh.
You're the one behind all the drinking issues.
Yeah, I got to tell you, Ben, it was what happened from Friday night into God knows whatever hour where we all sort of separated. It was like one of those things, like it was like the last episode of Seinfeld. Everybody kind of went in their own direction, stumbled away
silently. Yes.
Yeah. And the next thing I know, I'm starting to see stuff pop up on social media from Mexico. I'd actually forgotten that they were going to Mexico. And then Kevin at the end of the night was like, oh, hey, we got an early flight. So we got to catch. So everybody takes off. And now they're just continuing it. And here we are. Did you see what the weather forecast is, Ben? Did you see what it is?
No.
Stuck here. We're all stuck here. We should all be, all 9 million people in the listening area, we should all be right now in Mexico handling this. We could do sort of a reverse thing. We could rush the border and go the other way.
Now, in fairness, I will say Skilling is still here. So that's usually an indication the weather's not going to be horrendous. It's just going to be bad. Usually when Skilling goes on vacation, that's when you know, like, just batten down the hatches, grab the extra blanket, it's going to be bad.
Yeah, well, that's true, too. That's true. But I have a feeling that this is, this is that time of year. Middle of December. Can I officially call it the middle of December, right?
Yeah, we're good.
Sort of, you know, it's the 9th, that's the, you know, the middle 2 weeks is what I count. Anything after the 7th is middle. And I'm telling myself that because it makes me feel better. Like, okay, well, we're halfway through December.
There.
Yeah, we're fine.
I actually think those first, like, 2 or 3 weeks in January, you know, after the holidays are behind us, you know, February's going to suck. You know, it's March is not really that better.
Mm-hmm.
That's when my wife and I usually go away for a quick weekend because that's usually when you hit rock bottom. Right now, we still have the excitement of Christmas, and we're still, you know, fat and happy from Thanksgiving. This isn't a bad time.
So says you. All right.
Bro, you may need to readjust the medication. A little more sunshine.
Oh, trust me, I have. I got the sunlight out. You know, I've heard people talking about this for the last couple of weeks. They're like, well, there's a lot of things you can do for seasonal affective disorder, including the sun lamp.
No, I'm here to tell you, Ro has tried them all, and they don't work.
I have that sun lamp on, though. I have that on all the time in my house now. I have it following me around.
You look like Magda from There's Something About Mary, like your skin is almost, you know, on fire, but you're still depressed.
It's working. It's as far as you know. All right. Okay. So what's going on in the news?
Keeping an eye on a couple of things. The Inspector General's report into the origins of the Russia investigation is out, and I was interested to see the name of a Chicagoan mentioned 384 times. That would, of course, would be George Papadopoulos, the DePaul grad, former Trump foreign policy advisor on the campaign. And they made it clear that it was Papadopoulos running his mouth that started this investigation, not the Steele dossier, nothing else. And I also thought it was interesting that...
Now, he denies that he... This is an interesting thing, because Papadopoulos is now turning... Chicago's very own. George Papadopoulos is now turning the story back toward this professor, and they're making the argument that he was set up by this professor who was trying to trying to lure people in and then turn it back around, and this whole thing was cooked.
At one time, I think he was trying to suggest the professor may have been an FBI plant of some sort. There's no evidence of that.
IG does not find that.
I find that
hard to believe.
Yeah, in fact, there's some suggestion that he was a Russian operative. The Inspector General's report found that no bias was the origin of the Russia investigation, though there were considerable problems with the applications for the FISA warrants. So a little bit of meat on the bone for both sides to claim. The other story we're watching today involves this Chicago-born musician. Goes by the name Juice WRLD. He's actually went to my high school, Homewood Flossmoor High School, good bit younger than me. He had a seizure and went into cardiac arrest near the private terminal at Midway Airport over the weekend. And now we know that Chicago police went through his luggage a short time after he was transported to the hospital and later died. And in that luggage, they found a significant amount of drugs, including 41 vacuum-sealed bags of marijuana, 6 bottles of codeine, cough syrup, and 3 guns.
So all adding up to 70 pounds of marijuana, right? Isn't that what was first reported?
That's what TMZ was reporting. And this was originally characterized, as a seizure, some sort of medical event. Our Megan Dwyer's on it, and it sounds like there's evidence they try to use Narcan on him. He specifically, over the years, has talked about and written about, saying about his drug use.
Mm-hmm.
I just saw an email from the Cook County Medical Examiner that said the initial autopsy was inconclusive on the cause of death. Now they're out doing some toxicology tests and other things like that. But certainly there's evidence that he was traveling with guns and drugs and that unfortunately died from some sort of seizure. And now, reporting that they tried to administer Narcan to him twice.
Right. Now, what's interesting about this is the possibility he was on a private jet.
Right.
Right. So he was at there's a terminal for private jets
over on the other side of the airfield. Yep.
Right. And that's where he was. Now, when the private jet pulls up, the real question I think that needs to be asked here is who owns that private jet? And why was he on it? Was he renting it? Was that all his stuff on the private jet? Or was he on a private jet that somebody else owned or had leased or rented that may have been stowing those things? Because it seems unusual for me because of the stash of weapons and the amount of marijuana that was found that a guy who has an ascendant career like that would necessarily be traveling with that.
But keep in mind, when you travel privately, you don't undergo the same security. And so if you think, well, hey, I want to, I'm traveling private and I can get away without a bag search, et cetera.
Yeah, I understand that.
Yeah.
But if it is, in fact, 70 pounds, or what was how many vacuum packed?
It was 41 vacuum sealed bags of marijuana. But yeah, I'd see that 70 pound number to suggest there was a significant amount of drugs.
Right. And that's, that's deliverable marijuana. So that's a question. I mean, the guy's having a success. Is he still slinging marijuana? I mean, it makes it and it's about to be legal in Illinois.
Not that much.
No, that's true. Yes, that's true.
Yeah.
You're not going to be able to go into the old Apple store on Michigan Avenue and buy ask for 70 pounds of hooch. Yeah, I suppose not. Or whatever we could call it.
Hooch is not what they call it,
yes,
my friend.
Yeah, I know.
It's more of a Barney Fife Mayberry. go break up the still there, Barney.
Well, you know what I mean. The bow.
I can't wait for you to do your call-in segment. We're now taking questions about the legalization of marijuana in Illinois. Let's go to Mary Jane in Mundelein. Do you have some questions?
I said Mary Jane. Then hang up the phone. We are. It's funny you should mention that, Ben, because coming up in this hour, we're going to talk to the guy who's the head of the police chiefs in Illinois, that organization, to explain exactly how it is that marijuana laws are going to be enforced starting in 3 weeks. Think about that. We're 3 weeks away.
That's amazing. That's amazing. Well, pro tip, bro, don't refer to it as Hooch or Mary Jane during that discussion, and I think you'll fit right in. They'll think, boy, this guy knows what he's talking about.
The devil's lettuce, that's what the kids call it. I like that. It seems to be a good ad. Although now it just shows up in a cartridge and a pen. I don't know. I don't get any of it. Ben, we'll see you on the WGN TV News starting at 4, 5, 6, 9, and 10.
See you then.
All right. Thank you, sir. Coming up on the other side, we will talk to Demetrius Ivory about this weather that's moving through. Stay right here. It's the Rokan Show right here on 720 WGN. Keep listening after 4:30. Your chance to win a pair of tickets. See the Hawks taking on the Minnesota Wild on Sunday, December 15th. That's courtesy of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing. For all the right reasons, Four Seasons. Find them online at fourseasonsheatingcooling.com. And tune in again every Monday, all season long, for your chance to win tickets. thanks to our friends at Four Seasons, to the Blackhawks. And Andy was saying that the Bears need to win. I would say that the Blackhawks could use a few wins right about now.
Yes, they could.
Yes, I don't want to belabor the point, but I've noticed that it's a bit of a swoon. Now, I will remind Blackhawks fans, hockey fans, WGN fans, that it was a bad move in the beginning of the year for the St. Louis Blues last year. Right, it was like they were having a similar kind of beginning.
Yeah, the Blues were a wreck around New Year's Day, I want to say, and then rallied after a coaching change and won the Stanley Cup.
Now, exactly right.
So there's a lot of hope. That's what I'm saying. Bottom line is there's a lot of hope.
That's what I keep pointing to. That it's the Blues, and you know what? I'm parroting a lot of what some of my Hawks people are saying too. And Gizmo's going to be with us coming up in the 6 o'clock hour. Nick Gizmondi, you know, from...
From NBC Sports.
NBC Sports Chicago. And we'll be talking about all of that. Shaved his mustache, and he, once again, looks like a 14-year-old.
Yeah, that mustache was a little awkward looking.
You know what? He looked like a kid in a school play that has to wear the mustache.
Yes.
You know, like, oh, yeah, you're the dad of the family. We're going to put you in a mustache. So it worked out okay. All right, let's talk to Demetrius Ivory about what is happening in the weather here, because
you don't want to talk about it. Trust me.
Well, here's the thing. I got like all freaked out because my phone keeps blowing up with all of these notifications. Right? I'm on all those. I'm such a paranoiac that I'm on every single notification for weather and for like the city 911 system and all that, and the city sends out notifications on this too. They're like, oh, there's weather. And I think what they're legally obligated to do that because they're going to turn on those, you know, if it snows 3 inches streets, right?
Yes.
So when they do that, they want to let you know that we're going to tow your car even if it doesn't snow 3 inches. That's how we do it in the city because we need the money.
Yeah. They've obviously been looking at their weather apps too. There's 0% chance of really probably any snow in Chicago today
because it's too warm.
It's too warm right now. We're still looking at temperatures that are in the upper 40s. Now they're going to drop swiftly. I mean, we'll see temps fall some 20 degrees or so over the next couple of hours, and west of Chicago we're going to drop to freezing or close to freezing by 6 p.m. But in the city, it's going to be still in the 40s for a number, probably another hour or two. And then after that, we just dry out. So, no, not in Chicago. Your car is safe tonight.
Oh, I don't know. You know, I would still check. I'd still check the city website about that because they're like, hey, it was going to snow 3 inches. 3 inches. If it's going to snow 3 inches, we got to move the car. I don't know if it's going to do it or not, but we're going to move your car. We got to tow your car. What do they? They towed something. They were like 700 cars or something last week.
Wow.
During this. I mean, I'm like, how do they do that?
I think you're just unlucky, right? It's just like the guys are driving down the street. And they're like, here we go. Let's get them right now. It's three. You know, I don't think there's a well orchestrated play.
we are right next to one of the city pounds here.
Uh-huh.
Right below us on Wacker. And that is, there are a lot of scary parts of this city. There's no scarier part of the city than that city pound. When you go down there, there's like a trailer and a guy sitting in a broken office chair, and two snarling Doberman, and one Doberman, one German Shepherd, just snarling at you at all times.
Just waiting.
Just waiting for you to do something, to move quickly, or to try to pay with a credit card. Because they're trained to bite you if you pull a credit card out to try to pay with
it. Yeah, they don't want. Yeah, I think getting your car out of the lot is probably, that's probably the scariest thing, right?
Because
wait. And you're like, I better wait. Otherwise, who knows? And producer just walked in front of our camera.
Yeah, don't worry about it. It's okay. It's only television.
It's okay. It's just only a TV station.
It's only CLTV. All right, so I guess. So, is there more weather? Because now the issue is after this thing moves through, and again, you're going to have accumulating snow in the northwest suburbs, right? And in central Illinois,
a little bit. And there's a winter weather advisory north and west of Chicago. We think a little bit. It's only until 6 p.m. Oh. So the thing is
it already coming down?
No, the temperatures are still 40. In the last I checked, it was 44 in Aurora just a moment ago. So we do expect for temperatures to come down. We're going to make a quick changeover from rain to snow. I don't really see much in terms of accumulation. Yeah, if there's an inch, that's a lot. Now, the thing is, it could be coming down.
Said.
It could drop.
Go ahead.
It could drop visibilities down a little bit, but it's only until 6 p.m. And for the most part, I don't really, I don't think this is going to be a thing that's going to be so impactful to folks.
All right.
This evening.
And then cold for the rest of the week.
That's right? The thing. Tonight, wind chills are going to drop down in a big way. We'll see low temperatures down about 19 tonight. So it's going to feel, you know, in the, I guess, about 10 to 15 degree range, maybe even lower in terms of wind chills. Tomorrow's high is only going to be in the mid-20s. Okay. So that's going to be the big kind of...
That's enough. I don't want to hear anything else. Thank you very much. Thank you, Demetrius Ivory.
Thank you very much.
All right, there you go. And thank the producer for walking in the middle of that. So, Roger, all we need from you is the traffic now. He just did the weather.
I know. I've got half a job left.
News coming your way from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom, and also in the 4 o'clock hour, I should tell you that Sweet Lou Kanellis is going to be joining us with the what I would consider to be the dire story of the Chicago Bears right now. You know, I was watching the NFL yesterday. I'll ask Lou this directly, but is it my imagination that when you watch the Bears, you're not seeing the same sort of smooth kind of offensive machine that you're seeing like everywhere else in the NFL?
It's not your imagination.
Oh my gosh. I mean, there was actually that New Orleans,
yeah, San Francisco
mm-hmm. game yesterday was one of the best football games I have ever seen. I mean, it was like last year when Kansas City played the Chargers. No, the Rams. Played the Rams, and there was that crazy shootout game. Same thing yesterday. I mean, it was so much fun. And then you get to see, like in the National Football Conference, this isn't really going to be so easy. That's all I want to say. Even if they make the playoffs, I mean, who are they going to beat? But I'll save that for Lou.
Yeah, and you know, the worst part about that game was it ended on a Robbie Gould field goal.
Right, but you know what was really funny was the announcers of that game were saying, well, you know, Robbie Gould's had an up and down season. I'm like, I would take that up and down season under all circumstances.
Sign up for it.
Oh my gosh. All right, we're joined now on the Super Celebrity Hotline by Ed Wojcicki. He is the Illinois Association of Chiefs of Police Executive Director, and we're going to talk about the new marijuana laws that are going into effect in 3 weeks, because I got to say, Ed, people are confused right now about what's going to happen. There was that story last week that you're going to jail if you're smoking on your front porch, and then people are like, wait, can I smoke? If you're like on the third floor and you got like a balcony, can you go outside and smoke? What can you do? What can't you do? So let's talk a little bit about what the enforcement is going to mean for you guys. And will it be uniform throughout the state? That's the first question.
You know, it's a great question. We would like it for it to be as uniform as possible, but because there are some ambiguities in the law, I suspect that it won't be quite uniform, and you know, police and the citizens are going to have to learn together exactly what's going to happen.
Can I just ask you a question? Why is that? Is it because the state? I'm going to guess. I'm going to throw this at you and tell me if it's right. That the state law is pretty vague, right, in terms of enforcement.
Yeah, well, some aspects of it are. For example, you can't. One thing that people need to know is right now it will be against the law to be driving and smoking marijuana at the same time.
Right.
Just like you can't drink and drive, okay. Or you're not supposed to anyway. But where people are going to start getting confused is it's also against the law to be walking down the sidewalk and smoking. You know, you can't do that according to the law. There's only certain places where you're allowed to do it. And they wanted the intent of the law was to allow you to use it at your own residence.
Mm-hmm.
But then they also put some language in that says if a person can reasonably see you from a public place, then you can't do it there. And that's where the confusion comes about front porches in particular, you know, because, you know, a lot of people don't like to have anybody smoke in their houses
right.
anymore.
Right.
And so they would probably want to send them out to the front porch or the garage to smoke marijuana, you know. And I would say right now, you know, we're really trying to get clarification on that. The city of Chicago says don't do it on your front porch. But when we review it, we say, well, you know what, we're really not sure. And we actually asked the legislators to clarify that when they did the trailer bill last month, but they decided not to touch that.
Wow. So it depends on the municipality in terms of enforcement, right? I mean, there will be some municipalities that will have the resources to enforce it. I kind of imagine that Chicago is not going to have the resources to enforce that. I mean, there are a lot of other things going on here.
Well, that could be. You know, I don't speak for any particular
right.
department like the city of Chicago, but you're probably right.
Yeah. I mean, I can't imagine that's that. But I mean, unless, you know, they're trying to get onto a property for another reason. Hey, I want to ask you about the test for impairment while driving. Not smoking while driving, but perhaps being under the influence while driving. There is a separate test for that, right?
Well, there's not a test like a breathalyzer, and that's another part of the problem. But right now, they can do a test to see if you're impaired on drugs as well as alcohol while you're driving, and that usually involves a blood test. And they can also do a field sobriety test, and you know, and if you fail the field sobriety test, you know, they may not know for sure whether it's because of alcohol or some other drug, or whether it's marijuana or some other drug, but certainly you can smoke marijuana and fail the field sobriety test.
But can you be ticketed on the scene with driving while impaired without a blood test to prove that you are either drunk or high?
Well, you could be ticketed, yes, but then most likely they would have to take you to have the blood test done, and you know, and we're going to have to wait and see what the courts do, because you know, there's the science about all of this is not really settled, and so, you know, if you don't get your blood test till 4 hours after you're pulled over,
right,
you know, that might show, well, you're not impaired, but then that may not prove anything because of what we might learn about, you know, how quickly a person doesn't become impaired.
Right, and there's another issue there too, right, because the question about actually submitting to a blood test versus a breathalyzer. Right, because a blood test is a more invasive kind of a test, and you know, there have been issues with that over the years legally.
Yes, there have been, and we suspect that there will be additional legal challenges after this happens. You know, a lot of things are going to be settled in the courts over the next 2 or 3 years, or maybe longer. It's just true.
It's funny. I hate to say it, but I know that we needed to get this thing done quickly, and there was, but it wasn't like this wasn't already happening. It's been legal in a number of states, and they were, and now with this governor, the previous governor, Governor Rauner, didn't seem to be, in favor of this, but for whatever revenue purposes or whatever it happens to be, to try to get this thing up and going so quickly and have it so in my opinion, I'm not putting words in your mouth, Ed, this is in my opinion completely, that to have this mismanaged and just not thought out thoroughly, because there are other standards that states that have been doing this for a while, whether it's California or Nevada or anywhere, or Colorado, they got it worked out. They at least better than what we have, and we seem to be just sort of baby stepping in, like we're the first ones ever to do it, and it's weird to me. I mean, are you guys on the law enforcement side? You're clearly as confused as the rest of us are, right, about what the enforcement's going to look like?
Well, we're trying not to be confused, because come January 1st, we do have to enforce it. And so we're trying to put out some basic guidelines, like, you know, like I said, don't smoke and drive and don't be smoking in your house and go out 5 minutes later and drive, because you certainly risk being impaired. But you know, in Colorado, you say they, one of the things they did in Colorado, my understanding is they actually set up special locations where people would go for these blood tests, and you know, and we don't have that kind of thing in Illinois.
That infrastructure we're probably going to need. Ed, thank you so much. I really appreciate your time on this. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Illinois Association of Chiefs of Police Executive Director. All right, we've got the news from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom in 2. Oh, you know, I Pete Lucanellis is in the studio with us right now.
You're caught back up in that web, aren't you?
What should I do? For those of you just joining us in the 4 o'clock hour, I want to thank everybody who came out to the Canarbal Express, brought a toy for Toys for Tots. 3,500 toys raised, $3,000 in cash raised at that event on Friday.
Bravo.
And in Tinley Park. Thanks to everybody who did that. Thanks to the Ides of March. And Ed Obradovich was out there with us.
Oh, boy.
And he had some thoughts. And then we all went out to dinner with him. And let me just say that Ed loosened up a little bit at dinner and really let fly about how he thinks about what's going on here. And I'd like to get your thoughts. Some disappointment for Bears fans and for the Bears organization yesterday, because you had Minnesota win an easy one against the Lions, right? And you had the LA Rams win last night in a game that, you know, that was possible that they weren't going to win. So that really tightens up the ability. That makes that hole much smaller for the Bears to crawl through.
You know, usually you turn it around on me and you pull up the games and you say, Lou, win or lose. So I'm going to pull up the games and ask Roe, win or lose.
Okay, here we go.
All right, let's start off with the Rams, since you were just touching on the Rams, who are now 8-5. Now, the Bears have to have a better record than the Rams, because the Rams would win a tiebreaker by virtue of beating the Bears earlier this season. So there are three games left on the schedule. For the Bears to pass the Rams, forget about the Vikings right now. For the Bears to pass the Rams, L.A. needs to lose two of these three.
Okay.
They're at Dallas next weekend.
You know, Dallas is a team clearly in disarray.
Desperate.
Clearly in disarray. Desperate for a win for Jason Garrett, the coach, right? And I think for all these guys, too, to figure out. And also all those coordinators, they all want something, because everybody's kind of leaving at the end of the season. I kind of think the Rams seem a little hot right now. Rams played great last
game. Is at Dallas.
Yeah, I know.
And you're still taking the Rams.
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
Yeah.
Then they play at San Francisco.
San Francisco for sure.
Okay.
That was one of the best games. That was the best game of the season this year, San Francisco versus New Orleans.
Now
that
you
is your NFC championship.
No question. Yeah. Now you understand why Bill Belichick really did not want to let go of Jimmy Garoppolo. I mean, now that you've had the chance to watch Garoppolo for a couple
something.
Of seasons as the main man, is he a talent. You understand why the Bears really wanted to make him part of a deal as well.
Didn't San Francisco, San Francisco wasn't so great last year, right? Their record wasn't so great.
Well, remember, he got hurt last year.
Right.
He didn't play last year. So the loss of Garoppolo really put them in the position that they're in. And now, you know, that whole defensive line of theirs, they're all first-round draft picks. And they have finally blossomed into the talent that you thought. Now, defense was not the name of the game against the Saints.
No, it's true.
Which was the big surprise. Okay, so you've got the Rams winning at Dallas. You've got the Rams losing at San Francisco. And then they wrap up the season at home against Arizona.
Oh, that's not good news. That's really not good news.
Yeah. So, I mean, we can talk about the Vikings if you want, but it really doesn't matter. Because if you don't pass the Rams, then it doesn't really matter what happens with the Vikings. Because Minnesota's got the Chargers this weekend. Mm-hmm. I could see them losing that game.
Absolutely, yeah. Chargers are getting hot at the end of the season.
Then I could see them losing against Green Bay.
Mm-hmm.
They play Green Bay, and then they finish up with the Bears. And I think that if the Bears win the next two games, they've had Minnesota's number the last couple of seasons, so I could see the Bears winning at Minnesota. But again, it does not matter if the Rams don't lose two of three.
Lou, nice talking to you. It was good having you in.
Are you happy you brought me on? Can we talk a little about Mitchell Trubisky?
Yeah, we can talk about Mitchell Trubisky.
What did OB have to say about Mitch?
I
know he likes the kid because he knows the kid is a tough SOB.
Well, that's the thing. Everybody who goes, well, this guy, I mean, you know, he was crying on the sideline, which I think he was three games ago, but he puts himself, he's starting to put himself into situations where he could get hurt, right? He's not doing the whole Tom Brady, I'm going to slide around and slide around. I mean, Tom Brady actually yesterday in his game scrambled for a first down right? In like a third and 12 or third and 13. And it was great because it was the first time, and he runs like an old man now, which is fun. I like to see Tom Brady, you know, lose
a
step.
He's in his 40s.
Literally lose a step. But he slid, but it was a wide open field. Mitch is finally putting himself in a situation, and they need to do that with him. I think, you know, he's gotten hurt this season. There are issues. You want to keep your quarterback safe because they don't really, the backup, even though he's fine. He's a good game manager. He's not as good as Mitchell Trubisky.
No, they're not going to win with Chase Daniel.
No. All right. Could you hold on 1 second?
Yeah.
We'll continue to talk about that, and we'll talk about what OB had to say about all of that, and that's all coming your way. But first, let's check in with Roger Badish. What's happening in the skies and on the roads?
Marine veteran shares his continuing battles, and it's been Portrait from the Home Front Tuesday on WGN TV News at 9.
Luke Kanellis is with us. We're playing the game, can the Bears make the playoffs? And it's not looking good.
Yeah, but you know what? I think Matt Nagy's handling it the right way. He said, I don't worry about any other team. I know that my team needs to go out there and win games. That's what's most important. So the Bears are just concentrating. They've got 10 days to get ready for a game at Lambeau Field. And they'll take care of business in Green Bay. And if they win that game, I don't know if you had a chance to see the Packers against the Redskins yesterday. I thought Aaron Rodgers had one of the worst games of his career. They won 20-15. But I think the Bears are catching him at the right time. Now, today, bad news. It was official. Roquan Smith done for the year because of a torn pectoral muscle. It's a big loss.
But the kid who filled in for him
was terrific, Evan Pierre-Lewis. Yes.
He's not actually a kid, right? He's been in the league for a little bit. But I thought he had a great game.
Put pressure on the quarterback, was the best defensive player on the field for the Bears, and it looks like they're going to get Akeem Hicks back. And it's a different defense with Hicks out there on that line alongside Eddie Goldman.
I guess the one thing we could say about Sunday is that for the first time in a while, that Green Bay game is incredibly relevant, right? I mean, obviously it was relevant at the beginning of the season, but then, you know, a late season game with Green Bay hasn't exactly been relevant. Let's put it that way. And this is pretty, this is it. I mean, this is really the whole season. Even if they don't make the playoffs, this will turn around the fortunes of the team. They will at least end up 500, no matter what happens to the rest of the season. And it's not a total loss for Matt Nagy, because there will be a lot of if they don't end up 500, 8-8 or 9-7, they could have a winning record. That takes the pressure off. If he has a losing record after, you know, the big hot start last year, I think there's going to be a lot of pressure on the organization.
Not only Matt Nagy, but Mitchell Trubisky as well. I mean, because there are still those critics out there who are now buying the Trubisky stock, even though he played well. I thought he had the best game. Now, numbers-wise, one could argue that his 6-touchdown effort against Tampa Bay last year was the best game of his career. I thought against the talent that the Cowboys have, and with so much on the line, not only for the Bears, but for Dallas as well, I thought he played his best game of his career on Thursday night last week against the Cowboys. Now, can he go into Lambeau Field and do it again? Which would then give him 3-4 games in a row.
Yeah.
I mean, listen, the last few games, the kid has 13 touchdown passes and 1 interception. He is doing things out there, running with the football, showing us the confidence that we thought we'd get from the quarterback position when the season started.
Is it a game solely of confidence for him, Sweet Luke Kanellis?
Oh, my
gosh, is that what's going on
there?
I mean, it appears to be that.
With him, I mean, look at when he's you talked about him crying on the sidelines against the Rams. That was the low point of his career, all right? And he takes things to heart. So whether it's being bashed on social media, and the kid has taken an absolute beating in this town from the media, from the fans.
All quarterbacks have. Can you imagine if there were social media when Bobby Douglas was quarterback?
Oh,
just imagine.
Or Bob Evelini.
We go back too far. Yes, go ahead.
You know, so, yeah, I think the confidence is so important for him. But you know what they've done as a coaching staff? They've taken the leash off and said, run wild. Hey, man, if there's an opening, take off. Just be smart and slide, which he did. Mm-hmm. And sure enough, he had 63 yards rushing in that game against the Cowboys. Second highest total of his career. Last year he had 81 against New England. This is a kid who almost ran for 500 yards a year ago. Hasn't been happening this year. And they're letting his athleticism take over. And he's tough. He's athletic. Let him play the game free and loose, because he's got nothing to lose now.
Okay, so let me ask you this question, because you're a Bears.
Why didn't this happen at the beginning of the season?
Why did they put handcuffs on this guy in the first place?
Because I think that Matt Nagy had an offense to run, and he wanted to see if he could run the offense. He knew that defensive coordinators during the offseason had, you know, a chance to look at film and come up with a way to stop what they saw this 12-win team do last season. So he wanted to take the offense to another level with Trubisky, and it just didn't work. It didn't work. And you know what? There's so many other factors involved. That's why I've been fighting for the kid for 5-6 weeks. It's not only Trubisky. If a wide receiver runs the wrong route, the offensive line has had a bad season. Charles Lennell has more penalties against him than any other offensive line. There's so many different reasons. The coaching staff has had poor play calling games. It's not only about number 10. And unfortunately, he's carried the responsibility on his shoulders, and it's affected his confidence out there.
We as Bears fans, I think, have been asking the same question over and over and over again this season. Why did they tighten the playbook on him? And the social media theory, which is almost never right, but the social media theory was that he just doesn't have that same, QQ, quarterback quotient, to be able to deal with a really complicated playbook and be able to read defenses as quickly as, you know, Patrick Mahomes or anybody else.
And one can only assume that that's the reason, because Matt Nagy has talked.
But he did last
repeatedly.
Year.
Well, yeah, but he took it to another level. Matt Nagy did this offseason. He took that playbook to another level. So since the first couple of games to start the season, the coaches talked about cutting down on that playbook, all right, simplifying the playbook, doing less out there than what they thought they might be able to get away with. And if that means that he's just not grasping the offense that Matt Nagy wanted to run here, and Nagy has said it himself, listen, they didn't bring me here to run the I formation. Well, they brought you here to win and to repeat another 12-win season and win another NFC North. And if that means, you know, bringing back the playbook, then that's what you got to do to win. And unfortunately, it took this long in the season. It took, what, 12 games to get to that point? Not 12 games, 10 games.
Yeah.
So if
he had a bad middle third, a middle fourth.
Yeah.
I could say
the, now they took advantage of a you know, easy middle part of the schedule. These last four games, this is really the teeth of the schedule. It's the hardest in the league right now, these last three games. Packers, Chiefs, Vikings. No team's got a tougher three-game stretch than the Bears.
Why do you have to say it like that? I'm going to start crying now. It does. It appears, though, that they're not going to move on him, right? I mean, he's the quarterback of the future, and they're not going to have, you know, they're going to end up either at 500 or maybe just a little above, it would be my guess. And they're going to end up in the middle of the pack in the draft, and they don't have a first round pick unless they want to move somebody to do that. And I don't know. Would you see them moving anybody?
No, I don't. And I don't see them spending much on another quarterback out there. Everyone talks about Cam Newton. Cam Newton hasn't been healthy for 2 years. He's been playing on a bad ankle. So what are you going to do? Bring in Cam Newton at $20 million a season? That's not the right move. This team is all in on Mitchell Trubisky. Now, does that mean that they're not going to bring in a veteran quarterback to compete with Trubisky next offseason that brings more cachet than Chase Daniel? They will. The question is, who is that guy?
You don't think it's going to be Cam Newton?
I don't think it's going to be Cam Newton.
Eli Manning?
It could be Marcus Mariota.
Yes, I mean, everybody's talking about that.
Well, because he's got a relationship with Mark Helfrich going back to their Oregon days, and okay, the Bears were interested in Mariota when he came out of college, so there could
and
be an opportunity with Mariota, yeah.
And Eli Manning will be available. We're going to see him tonight. He's going to start tonight.
Yeah. And I'm excited about that. I'm excited about watching Eli Manning, because I think that this guy's got something to prove at the end of his career.
And they have Minnesota next week, right?
Yes.
So we need him to play well.
Well, Yes. So, do they have Minnesota? No. Do they have Minnesota? What did I say? You got me all backed up now. No. Minnesota's got the Chargers next week.
No, the week after that, I think they've got.
No. They've got Minnesota's got the Chargers, Green Bay, and the Bears. All right. So I think the Giants have Philadelphia tonight.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. All I know is that I'm.
Zero. Are you going to bring me on before Sunday, or should
sure.
I get my prediction right now?
I'll bring on before Sunday.
All right,
let's do
good.
That. Let's
all
do right. that. Let's do Thursday or Friday.
Yeah, let's see the way this
really
week
panicking.
Plays out.
Yeah. Okay.
I want to know for sure that Akeem Hicks is coming back. I'm excited about that. I really am. I have to tell you.
I'm with you on this.
You're going to see a different Khalil Mack out there.
I think most of us in Bears Nation are looking at Sunday and thinking Bears are going up to Lambeau and they're going to get even with a lot of things. They're still not going to make the playoffs, but that is our playoff game.
Payback
Sunday.
Time, buddy.
Yeah, it's something. It's something.
Yep.
I mean, it's going to be something. They're not going to get rid of Khalil Mack, right?
No.
That trade rumor is dead.
Yeah, that was a bad rumor.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Sweet Lou, congratulations on your new restaurant, by the way, Avli.
Thank you.
In River North.
When are you coming by?
I will come by.
We've got a seat safe for you.
Yes, thank you. It's out of the parking lot, but it is a seat safe. A beautiful, beautiful room. Congratulations.
Thank you.
I'm very excited for you on that because, you know, if you're a Greek man in sports in Chicago, you must have a restaurant.
I knew the Greek thing was coming.
Yeah, it's absolutely true. All right, we got the news coming away for the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom in two. That music can mean only one thing. Caller number 19, 312-981-7200. Rips me off for tickets to see them take on the Minnesota Wild this Sunday. It's all brought to you by Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing for all the right reasons. Four Seasons. Four Seasons. Find them online at FourSeasonsHeatingCooling.com and tune in every Monday all season long to win a pair of tickets to see the Hawks take on somebody. And the Hawks, you know, they could use a bit of a turnaround. I don't think I have to tell you that. It's not exactly going the way that I had anticipated. And then bad news about Andrew Shaw. He's going to be on the extended IR, which means something different in hockey than it does everywhere else. When you hear the IR, you know, in football or you hear it in baseball, you're like, oh, what does that mean? Because hockey players, they play through a lot. That means only until December 27th, but that's still a lot of time there.
Yeah, it also means salary cap relief. So that they can actually sign other guys.
Right.
If they need to.
At that moment.
Correct.
So there is an opportunity.
Right.
So, all right. Okay. Now, this week, Kevin and Lauren are in Mexico with the White Sox for Sox on the Beach, which is a trip that we were promoting in the late summer into the fall. And finally, the time has come. And all I can say is that I've been following on, you guys got there over the weekend, and I've been following on social media some of the behavior of you two, and I can't say that I'm anything but disappointed.
Yeah, I'd like to file a formal complaint. There was a cloud that blocked the sun for about 30 seconds, and there's a complete lack of alcohol, Ro. So very disappointed with the trip so far.
Yeah, I'll bet. There's a lot of beer, though, I've noticed. I've noticed that there's beer and there's wine and there's, and you know, now we talked about this before. Have you gone up to these, is there a swim up bar in the pool?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, what's so funny is that, I don't know, it feels like we've been here a week already, but last night was the big welcoming parting situation. And somebody came up and asked me about that. Like, hey, where's that Rokan at? And they're going to the swim up bar. I'm like, okay, I know where you're going with this. Jeez, that happened.
Yes.
So I've avoided the swim up bar because you've scarred me for life. So I'm never going to the swim up bar.
The swim up bar in an all inclusive is a very dangerous place to be because you can go and it seems like a good idea. And then you're there and all of a sudden the water gets real warm out of nowhere. And you're like, hey, wait a second. No. And I got to tell you, if there's anybody who's gonna do that in the swim up bar, it's Ozzie Guillen. I'm just going to tell you that right now. Do not go sit next to Ozzie Guillen in the swim up bar.
Can I say this about Ozzie Guillen? Like it even needs to be said because he's such a rock star with Sox fans. But so we're like in the middle of the party last night. It's like in the little lawn area, like in the middle of the resort, cocktails and appetizers, etc. And Ozzie shows up. Half the party is in line to take a picture with the man. And Ozzie, is as cool as he is, took a picture with everybody, talked to everybody. The man is a full-blown rock star with White Sox fans.
He's just a full-blown rock star. I mean, he is one of the great personalities. He's arguably in the top three coaching personalities in the history of Chicago. Maybe top two. He and Ditka. It might be just the two of them. I mean, it's hard.
Yeah, I mean, you could put, like, Ditka and Quinville and Ozzie. Like, Chicago loves characters, right?
Yeah.
And Ozzie was such a character. We already talked to Bobby Jenks a couple days ago. I mean, Bobby Jenks was a legend on his own right, but the way Ozzie handled it, remember Ozzie would walk to the mound and do the whole thing where he's like signaling for the big man, like big guy, tall guy. Like Ozzie was a character. And he's so cool. Lauren and I went and talked to him for a minute, like, hello, Mr. Guillen. This is Kevin and Laura. Lauren, very excited to talk to you. And he was just hilarious, like cracked all the jokes. So it's super fun down here. We're having a great time.
All right, good. And the White Sox, and no one's getting hurt, right? Because the White Sox may end up being the hottest Chicago sports team in 2020. And I don't want
to. Well, that's why it's fun, because there's so much buzz. I mean, just talking to some fans, like, it's not like we're talking about the White Sox. You know what I mean? We're not just talking about being here. Like, a lot of, they're super excited about. And I did meet a couple, by the way, who won tickets to this trip via WGN. Shout out there. So they were big listeners, and congrats to them. But there's some diehard fans here that are very excited about 2020.
As they should be. I think it's going to be, it's going to be very exciting. And there does seem to be a core of players that are going to be returning here. They've made some moves. I'm surprised that there wasn't a big announcement over the weekend, but we'll just have to see. And this is interesting. You know, that I got 30 seconds left here, but you see that the Cubs, the rumor is that the Cubs are going to move Chris Bryant, or trying to move Chris Bryant, but there's a little bit of a hiccup because they're not sure how many years he'll be under control because he's appealing his control. Well, do you think I don't think that's something that the Sox would be interested in.
I don't think so either, but I wouldn't be surprised if the Cubs do move him, because there's some sour attitudes about the whole control, and it's very complicated. But, yeah, wouldn't be surprised if the trainer, which is crazy to say. We're just 3 years removed from that. Hey, we're going to talk to James McCann, by the way, and I can't wait to hear what he has to say about the offseason moves tonight. So we'll have that at WGNradio.com.
All right. Thank you very much. You do that, and we'll talk about that tomorrow. Thank you, Kevin.
Bye-bye.
This is just proof of life, making sure that Kevin's all right. All right, so we were talking, by the way, news coming your way from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom at the top of the hour, if anybody asks. Earlier, we were talking about the new marijuana laws that are going into effect on January 1st, and we were talking to the head of the chiefs of police for the state of Illinois about what the enforcement's going to be, and he said that it's unclear. They don't know, because they didn't write the rules down in Springfield so crystal clear that everybody will be on the same page, which is really going to be interesting, I think, on January 2nd. That's all I'm going to say. And people are going to be high, and they're going to be very, very paranoid. Anyway. But there is something that you may not know about that the state of Illinois has done that goes into effect on January 1st. And it might freak you out. If you want to sell your used vehicle, your trade-in, and it's worth more than $10,000, you're going to be taxed on the differential between $10,000 and the value of that vehicle. How did this happen and we never heard about it? What happened here? That's the question. Bill Haggerty is joining us. He's chairman of the Chicago Automobile Trade Association and owner of Haggerty Buick GMC. Thank you so much, Bill. Appreciate your time.
Thanks for having me.
This is not something that has really been top of mind, in the media at least. So how badly is this going to affect people? What's the tax specifically going to be?
Well, the tax, you hit it correctly. The tax is going to affect anybody with a trade-in over $10,000. And specifically, the consumer is only going to get credit for a $10,000 trade-in. So if they have a vehicle trade-in worth $20,000, they'd save taxes roughly 7.25% where you're at, $1,400. The new math is going to only allow them to have a tax credit on $10,000, so they're going to only save about half, about $725 roughly. So it affects the consumers, and obviously if the consumer's affected, has to pay more, it's going to affect all the dealers. We're very concerned, both for the consumer and for the dealer.
And was this, obviously you guys, in the Trade Association, you guys are aware of anything that's going to be going on in Springfield, but that seemed to get passed without a whole lot of noise around it, which surprises me.
There's noise behind the scenes. It came up pretty late. I'm not, obviously not down there in the negotiations, but we did hear about it. There was a little bit of rumblings about it, and we were discussing with all the legislators, and we thought we had an alternative worked out, and we know the state needs money. We understand that there's roads to be paved and things that have to be done. But we had thought that we worked out the legislators a pretty good compromise and an alternative way to raise the funds. And at the last minute, we were throwing a curveball, and this is what happened.
So people who are trading in their cars, if they're buying a new car, they're going to be that's probably going to get rolled into whatever the financing deal is, right?
Correct. Yeah. Yes. Correct.
Yeah. But if they're doing it on a cash basis, I mean, they will see the differential here.
They definitely will. And I mean, I'm using a $20,000 trade, and there's a number of people who trade in vehicles that are worth $40,000, $50,000. Sometimes in those high end vehicles, they're much more expensive. So, on a $50,000 trade in, using that 7% figure, they're going to be paying an extra $2,800 in tax. And, you know, that might change some consumers' behavior. And the dealers are very concerned that we're going to sell less vehicles from it.
This is not exactly as flush a time for automobile dealerships as one would anticipate. The economy is very good in a lot of different sectors. But the business model of how people use cars is changing. Right, and you're seeing that across the board, and we talked to a lot of dealers, we have a lot of business that we do in your sector, but also I got a lot of friends who are in the industry, and it's not an easy business to be in right now, is it?
It's very difficult. Our margins have been squeezed on the new car side, and the car has become a commodity, so. It's a good time. I'm not going to cry for the dealers, but it's a competitive business, and you have to be on your game. And any little thing that makes it harder to sell a car just squeezes the small businessman a little bit. So we're a little concerned that the legislators
aren't looking at that.
For revenue.
Yeah,
they're not looking at that. I mean, it unintended consequences is I think what's going to happen. So we're on top of it. We're going to see if we can help the consumer and next year. Try and get this changed, but for now, it's we're hoping to sell a lot of cars in January, we're going to sell a lot of cars in December, and come January 1st, we're going to see what that brings us.
And how does this affect lease deals, if at all?
Well, I have to think about that for a second. Leasing, well, it won't affect it a whole lot, actually, because you can't use a tax, you can't use a trading tax credit anymore. So it really shouldn't affect leasing from a negative standpoint. It might actually, it might help leasing a little bit because consumers, when you trade in a vehicle on a lease, you don't get the tax credit. So this way they're not going to lose it. They wouldn't have got it either way. So maybe now they will decide to lease.
So leasing could be beneficial, it's depending on how you want to do it. I mean, there's certainly, there's a conservative way. A lot of people are like, well, it's not really worth it to lease. And why are you renting a car when you should buy a car? But it is a depreciating asset, right? I mean, so you do have to think about, how to protect yourself from that. And lease deals do seem to, I think they seem to work. And one of the things that's interesting, I just want to, on a separate issue, Bill, one of the things I hear from dealers is how the whole rideshare industry is affecting car sales. And that's obviously there are some who are going out and buying cars for car share, right? But
correct.
It's also like, especially city dealerships and things like that, people are less likely to buy sedans for sure, and even any kind of vehicle because they're so used to Uber and Lyft.
Yeah, that's in the city. I've got I've got some kids living in the city, and luckily enough, they have availability to a car at a very cheap price. So,
how bad?
But I will tell you that they Uber a lot more than they take the car. So the younger generation or the millennials, I think there's a need for both. I mean, when they come out to the suburbs, they're not Ubering, but when they're in a city, Uber and Lyft work out very well for them. But there's a paradigm shift a little bit. I'm not sure how it's going to work out in the end, but there's definitely a shift.
Yeah, it's very. It's one of the other reasons that it's become so competitive too. And people are. We'll have to see what happens with the self-driving cars as they start to. Whenever that begins to roll out, what is your thought on when those are going to be coming out?
I think it's a long way away. The technology's there. The engineers, I'm sure, are further ahead than we know. But I just think there's so many things. The infrastructure has to be right.
Because you need the 5G, the real 5G, not the marketed 5G, but when the real 5G hits, which is probably another year or two away, because the cars are going to work off of that platform, right?
They're going to work off that. They're going to work off the stripes on the road. They have to work off no potholes in the road. They have to. There's so many things involved in that. I just read today in one of the publications where, I don't know if it was a self-driving Uber or Lyft just had an accident, hit a parked police car or something like that somewhere in the country. So it's not perfected.
It's interesting. When they've tried some of these out, they get into the most awkward of accidents. That's the funny thing about it. And hitting a parked police car, that's a good way to go. But who do you – now imagine, who do you ticket in a situation like that?
I don't know. I would be interesting situation when the cop goes and there's no one in the no one in the driver's seat.
Where's Elon Musk to ticket him? All right, thank you very much, Bill Hagerty, chairman of the Chicago Automobile Trade Association, owner of Hagerty Buick GMC. Thank you, man. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Appreciate the time.
All right. So, if you're going to go buy a car, buy it in December. I think is the issue. If you want to save the money on the trade-in tax, which somehow, some way got snuck past us in Springfield. I don't know how that goes. All right, we got news from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom coming your way in 2 minutes.
It's the top five on the Rokan Show.
Five.
Let's go.
Four, three, two, one.
Now, it's the top five at five on the Rokan Show, sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
All right. It's the Rokan Show. Right here on 720 WGN. This is out 5-5 because it's 5 o'clock, and that means it's... That's what it means. That's not what that means.
Number five.
Another technical. Another one. All right. There was fun and hilarity on Capitol Hill today. Shouting match broke out. Okay, so here's what's happening today. There is a Judiciary Committee hearing today of all the evidence that was culled last week and throughout the Intelligence Committee hearings. And so now there is a debate between the Republicans and the Democrats using these lawyers that the Republicans and Democrats had used last week to question the witnesses. And in the Intelligence Committee to question the witnesses, they are now witnesses themselves, which I don't quite fully understand. Not sure that's how that's supposed to work out. But they're the ones who are now answering questions. And one of them, the one that was representing the Democrats last week, Daniel Goldman, was being questioned. And then all of a sudden, a shouting match broke out between Matt Gaetz and Jerry Nadler, who's the chairman of this. Matt Gaetz is the guy from Florida, the congressman many people are accusing of looking like me on social media. We have the same hair and forehead. That's the only thing that I think is similar. And this all was precipitated by a question about, remember the ambassador to the EU, Gordon Sondland, had given $1 million essentially to get his ambassadorship by giving $1 million to the inaugural committee for Donald Trump. And then, well, all hell broke loose.
Be very careful about how you throw around dollars in giving, because you and Mr. Burke are real heavy donors to the Democratic Party. And I'm not going to say it questions your motive or your position here today, but we need to make sure that this thing is already blown out of proportion. We're already not answering questions, and you are here without a pen because your chairman will not testify. That says all we need to hear. He don't even stand behind his own report, and he sends you. I hope it works out for you. I'm done. At this point, I turn it over to Ashley.
Could I respond? Are you trying to say that what are you trying to say? What is the implication here? But by the way, I didn't give anything close to $1 million remotely, so I don't know.
The implication is we want Schiff in that chair, not you. The implication is the person that wrote the report is the person that should come and present it, and you weren't elected by anybody, and you're here giving this testimony in place of the chairman. I hope that clears up the implication.
The gentleman does not have the time, and the gentleman has been warned before. He cannot simply yell out and disrupt the committee.
Honest to God, there are kindergartens that are better behaved. When at juice time, they're better behaved. All right. Well, then, Democratic Congressman Eric Swalwell, during some back and forth with the same witness, Goldman, says that really this is not about anybody but the president.
Is he an incidental player or a central player in this scheme?
President Trump is the central player in this scheme.
There's a reason that no one has said, what did the president know and when did he know it? From the evidence that you have presented, Mr. Goldman, and the Intelligence Committee's findings, we know one thing, and one thing is clear. As it related to this scheme, the president of the United States, Donald J. Trump, knew everything.
All right. And Republicans are arguing that yes, he knew it, but he wasn't asking for a quid pro quo, so he wasn't really committing a crime, and You go ahead and impeach him, but they're not going to find him guilty in the Senate, and that's where we're left. We're actually, after all of today's hearings, we are not much closer to a solution, to an answer that would change people's minds that have already been made up. Joe Khalil from NextStar, who is a correspondent in Washington, D.C., will get us caught up on this and the other big story coming out of Washington today as well. So that's coming your way at the bottom of the hour after the news. All right. I'm hoping that Christmas goes as well as Thanksgiving. There was, with the exception of just a little bit, and it wasn't even contentious at Thanksgiving dinner. There was just a little bit of action on this. I think, by and large, Americans are just tired, just overwhelmed by this, and the naked partisanship on both sides, and just seems to me. And then we're going to head from this headlong into the presidential campaign. So all I got to say is the White Sox better be good next year. That's all I want to say. All right. Let's check in with Roger Badish and find out what's happening on the roads and in the skies. Ah, it's the Rokan Show right here. 720 WGN. Top 5-5. We're all the way up to
number 4.
Defensive lineman Akeem Hicks. The Chicago Bears addressed the media at House Hall earlier today and says,
I feel good. There's preparations that need to be made and some finishing and some cleaning up of things to do just to make sure that I'm prepared to play and do what I have to do out there and just going about it like a regular work week.
What do you want to see from yourself that tells you I'm ready to play in an NFL game?
The coaches hate this when I say this, but I just love to play good football. Like I don't expect any crazy things I don't want to play outside my norm. I want to play good football. That's what I like to do. Everything's going to come to light in those first couple plays. There's nothing like that first moment of being back or stepping on the field and that first contact. You can simulate whatever environment you want, but there's nothing like it.
All right, Andy, I just have to ask you a question. Andy Mazur is in for Kevin Powell. Kevin and Lauren are in Mexico this week with the Chicago White Sox, and they're getting drunk with Ozzie Guillen as we speak. this Akeem Hicks, this move bringing him back, essential for Sunday against Green Bay.
Yes, in a number of different ways, just because he's out there, first of all, and because he takes a little attention away from Khalil Mack. If you realize and you kind of keep score, Khalil Mack has done a lot better as far as rushing the quarterback and causing a lot of havoc as he's done when Akeem Hicks is in the lineup. Just plain and simple.
Yeah, I'm feeling particularly good about that move. That's the only thing I can feel good about. You know, and also the other thing about Akeem Hicks that makes such a big difference, he's a leader in the locker room.
Yeah.
And one of the questions that I've always had about this is when you're hurt, how does your leadership in the locker room go down? I mean, I know that on the field, it's one thing to run off the field and talk to guys on the bench, right, during the game. But aren't they still a presence in the locker room?
Yeah, a lot of guys will rehab with the club, and especially if guys in that locker room see you working your rear end off to get back on the field, knowing how you respect the fellow guys in the locker room, they're going to respect you even more for your leadership in the locker room, and they know what you can do on the field already.
Yeah, so there we go. Yeah. So we feel good about that.
Absolutely right.
I think we're going to win on Sunday. I know. We're not going to make the playoffs because now it's almost mathematically impossible
to
make the playoffs.
It's going to be hard, yeah.
Yeah, because L.A. winning yesterday was was half a dagger.
Yeah, that hurt.
Yeah, because you got to get past L.A. and you got to get past Minnesota.
Right.
Oh, I don't want to talk about it.
I'm sick about it already. I do. You know, it's just Matt Nagy talking about it today, saying, "Yeah, well, we did this to ourselves," and he's right.
Yep. That's true. Checking in at
number 3.
Well, Saturday Night Live decided to take on both the NATO summit and the Peloton controversy. They decided to take the NATO summit and make it into a high school lunchroom, essentially, where at the end Melania Trump had to come out and make a speech about not bullying each other in the lunchroom.
I'd like to tell you about Peloton. Are you a scared woman who's trapped inside a mansion? Why not imagine biking away from it all on Peloton? Merry Christmas to me.
I couldn't figure out where they were going to go with that because, like a lot of SNL bits, it was starting to run out of gas, and then they found a way to turn it back around. But back to the real Peloton problem, the guy who plays the husband in that commercial that has gotten so much social media backlash, which I believe has been completely precipitated by a Russian troll farm. He says he's not happy with all of this because he's getting hate mail.
I did see it. It was frustrating, actually, I'll be honest. I mean, they said the new Peloton ad is labeled as sexist. It was there in bold. And I disagree. They're reinforcing that that's what people are thinking about it. I don't feel that way. That's not the truth about the commercial at all. And so I know they're making a joke of it, but people are laughing at it and saying, haha, this is the truth. This is how we feel. I don't like it. I love Estonel, but when they make jokes of things, I mean, they should see the Instagram DMs I have. It's hurtful.
I don't think they care. But I will say this. It is the stupidest controversy of 2019. It may be the stupidest controversy of the decade. And there have been a lot of stupid controversies. Because when you watch that commercial, you have to be like super awkwardly sensitive to think that that is fat shaming. There are a lot of couples. By the way, the actress in that was in shape. There's a lot of couples who like to work out together. They want to work out at home. The spin class thing is big. But Peloton, now by doing these home sales, is kind of eating away at the spin class studios. And so what if somebody wants to get in shape, right? Cardiovascularly or whatever it happens to be. We are so caught in you are offending me culture. Who is really the victim of that specific commercial other than the Russians who aren't doing as well in Peloton as we are? That's all I want to say. We'll talk about that a little bit later on. Checking in at
number two.
Steve Harvey just can't catch a break. Nothing ever goes right for him. Guy can't find a job. Nothing ever happens for him. It's the mustache. And neither can Miss Philippines. A Miss Universe host called out the correct winner this year, thankfully, of the costume contest last night. But the wrong contestant was standing beside him to accept the award.
Here's a look at the winner, Philippines. This is it right here. I thought I had on something fly, but girl, you just woo. Cake and oranges and potato chips. This is a lot. Yes.
It's not Philippines. It's Malaysia.
Okay, well, let me explain something to you. I just read that in the teleprompter. Y'all gonna quit doing this to me. I can read. It said now. They trying to fix it now. See, this is what they did to me back in 2015. Played me short like that.
You know what? He should not do the Miss Universe pageant.
That's what I was just gonna say. Let's pick a different pageant or something.
Well, he's on everything else. I don't know that he needs a pageant. Does he need a pageant? He's pairing off a lot of his own shows. The talk show, right, is out of production. The kids say the dumbest things or whatever that show is, right? Didn't they give it to Tiffany Haddish? I think he's still producing it.
Just stick to Family Feud.
Yeah, Family Feud. He's excellent at Family Feud. Let's just go with that. Okay. Finally.
Number one.
Carol Spinney, the actor and puppeteer who portrayed Big Bird and Oscar the Grouch on Sesame Street, has died. Spinney joined the children's television show during its beginnings in 1969 and remained part of the Sesame Street team for 5 decades. He was mentored by puppeteering legend Jim Henson, and the two remained longtime friends until Henson's death in 1990. Spinney retired in 2018 after dystonia made the physical requirements of performing more difficult. He stopped the puppeteering for Big Bird in 2015, had only been providing the voice for him, for he and Oscar. In the documentary, I Am Big Bird, Spinney talked about how he almost gave up on being one of the most popular characters in the world.
At first, I didn't have an awful lot to do. Big Bird was barely in the show. He was just being introduced, and Oscar was too. I thought, I don't think I can stand coming here anymore.
For a while, I was sleeping on a fold-out couch up in Spanish Harlem.
There was still trash in the streets, and I'm stepping over trash.
So I had the problem of what to do. I decided to quit.
I was going up the stairs to Jim's office, and Kermit Love was there, who was the builder of Big Bird.
has become a good friend. He saw my grave-looking face, and he said, what are you doing? I said, I'm going up to quit. He said, you'll never get another opportunity like this again. I said, yeah, but I said, I can't stay in New York. He said, it will get better. He said, give it another month. Big Bird, at first, he was a very goofy guy, kind of a country yokel.
You're not a bird. I'm a bird. Birds are big.
And I said, you know something? I think maybe he should be a kid. He just happens to be a big kid. The producers agreed. The scripts suddenly were all Big Bird and Oscar, and they were terrific. I couldn't even imagine how I could even have thought about leaving such an opportunity.
Carol Spinney was 85.
The top five at five.
Kim Gordon's got the news from Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. It's the Rokan Show right here on 720 WGN. Joe Khalil is joining us from the NextStar DC Bureau. And there was screaming and yelling today, Joe, on Capitol Hill. People screaming at each other. Congressmen going nutty. I don't know if, the question that I think a lot of people have is, does this needle get moved at all, in terms of swaying people's opinion based on what they're seeing? Today, let's just go back and explain exactly what was happening in the Judiciary Committee.
Sure. So, today we had another hearing. Essentially, the goal of today was supposed to be to break down the Intelligence Committee report. So they put together their report, facts essentially that were supposed to serve as a sort of special counsel report because we didn't have one, related to Ukraine. So all the impeachment stuff and the hearings and the Intel Committee came together, and that's what was supposed to be happening today, which means, on paper and substantively, it's a new subject. But in reality, what we saw, as you mentioned, when we got into it was, it's kind of the same talking points back and forth. It's kind of the same rhetoric, the same main strategies from both sides that have kind of been the same. That's what we saw again today. So, in terms of does it move the needle or not, I don't really know that at this point, if you're not already entrenched in a impeach or not impeach camp, I don't know how much the needle is moving, in terms of the people that are still in, though. It seems like we're pretty polarized and divided at this point on that.
Yeah, I would say so. The IG report came out today as well in Washington, which is important. This was the Justice Department. This is the Barr Justice Department's Inspector General who was... Both sides were saying, the Democrats are saying they're not going to find anything here, and Republicans were saying they're going to find something huge here, and really think the Democrats kind of won this argument, because turns out in that report it indicates that the FBI wasn't acting out of political bias, and that the whole thing really did start with George Papadopoulos, Chicago's very own, shooting his mouth off.
Yeah, exactly. I didn't know he was a Chi-Town guy. Something to be proud of there. This is a big deal. It's a big deal because for a long time we've heard the president and people around him say that there was an illegal investigation, wiretapping, hacking into his campaign, using those kinds of words to describe what the FBI was doing, ahead of the 2016 election. And what we found out from Michael Horowitz, who, by the way, is widely considered on both sides of the aisle to be a pretty straight shooter. There are a lot of Republicans, even Trump supporter Republicans, who say, we trust Michael Horowitz and he's an ethical guy. So his report said that basically, no, this wasn't undermining the Trump campaign. There wasn't anything illegal or undue about what was going on. Essentially, the FBI got some information that entities in Russia were trying to influence the Trump campaign in our elections. They handled it through the proper channels. There were a couple of things here and there, a couple of emails and a couple of warrants that Republicans sort of seized on today, right, and said there were some things, but by and large, overall, the findings from, again, Michael Horowitz was that, at this point, you can't really look at this and say that there was anything that was illegal or sketchy going on. So a big development for sure, but because of the world we're living in, definitely Republicans and Democrats both sort of jumped on their talking points immediately.
And there was some discussion of investigating the investigator here too, that, well, there must be something, and then going after him. Yeah. But I think that's going to die on a vine. Joe Khalil.
Well, so this report, though, remember, was investigating the investigator. So something beyond this would be investigating the investigator of the investigator.
Yes.
If you want to go that way.
Right. I think America doesn't want to do that. Merry Christmas to everybody, right? All right.
Exactly.
Joe, thanks very much. Appreciate it. Joe Khalil from Nexstar Media in Washington, D.C. Let's check in now with Roger Badish. What's happening on the roads and in the skies? I also want to thank American Sail for being our presenting sponsor of Kinarbal Express last Friday in Tinley Park, where 3,500 toys were raised and $3,000 in cash and checks. So I think that that's all to benefit the United States Marine Corps Reserve Toys for Tots program. All right, Megan Dwyer is joining us from WGN-TV News, WGN-9, I think is what we're calling it now. Isn't that right, Megan?
The old number 9. I don't know if I care what you call it.
The 9. You know, I think our bosses care now, though. I think they're all of a sudden motivated to care. All right, let's talk about this story that the nation is now talking about. Actually, Juice WRLD is this young man originally from Chicago, went to Holman Flossmoor High School, right? And he died at Midway Airport in the private airplane terminal there on the west side of the airfield over the weekend from a medical emergency, was said. And now they did an autopsy. It's inconclusive.
Inconclusive, and they've got to run, I think, 4 more tests at least. So it could be weeks, potentially a month, before we know the exact cause of death. And of course, there's lots of rumors flying. There's a lot of rumors even that he's not dead,
of course,
which, you know, have been sort of debunked. But yeah, here it's we do have police sources that have confirmed to WGN that he had in his possession narcotic pain pills, and his girlfriend told police during the incident that he takes them regularly and has a problem with them. And so we do not know if that contributed to his death here, but we do know they found 70 pounds of marijuana in 41 vacuum sealed bags. And those bags were in luggage that was on that private jet, but the actual suitcases did not have luggage tags. So it's not like it was specifically in his suitcase.
Right. See, that's the thing that kind of gets me. First of all, before we get to that, because I have a theory about the mystery of the 70 pounds of marijuana on the eve of Chicago and the state of Illinois legalizing marijuana.
Right.
I find that to be very curious. But we'll get to that in just a second. But people may remember this in the week before Prince died of a drug overdose back in Minneapolis. He was on a plane that got diverted to the Quad Cities, where he was treated for seizures, which clearly now we know were related to the use of narcotic pain pills, opioids. And that was, and they barely saved his life there the week before. And now the question is that the same kind of an incident where, because obviously, you know, the opioid problem in America is a significant one, and the death rate, right, for Americans is that the average age of death is going down, and almost exclusively because of that, because of opioids, and whether it's interactions or people buying them on the black market and getting the stuff that they think is legit, but it's actually fentanyl filled and all that's creating these kinds of problems. So that doesn't really seem to be a surprise, but you say it's going to be a couple of weeks before they're able to get that.
Yeah, they don't know anything at this point. I do know that federal agents administered 2 doses of Narcan to him. And they routinely do that when they suspect an overdose situation. So they did obviously suspect that. Early Sunday morning, and they revived him. They got his heart regulated, and then he ended up dying, though, at the hospital. So
they were able to get him to the hospital, but
they were able to get him to the hospital.
Whatever was going on.
It's just, listen, this kid, I know his song, his one really popular song, Lucid Dream. I didn't know it was him who sang it, but it's on the radio all the time. And his star just, it breaks my heart because I just was I was on, you know, like the 15th page of Google today, you know, deep in the internet, looking at some of the stuff that he put together when he was a senior at Homewood Flossmoor High School. Really, really talented kid, really sad kid. He often in his lyrics would talk about how he's depressed, how he takes prescription medication. He has done interviews before about how his mom put him on ADHD medication when he was, you know, a young teenager. And so clearly he, you know, was self-medicating and has been throughout his career. It's sort of, you know, it's awful that this keeps happening, especially to these young, you know, rappers from Chicago who have a lot of talent.
Yeah, he, one of his lyrics actually talks about not making it past the age of 21.
Yeah, that's his song, Legend. And yeah, he actually says, you know, what's something like, what's up with getting to 27? We likely won't get past 21. A lot of his lyrics were foreboding. That's why when I was in the depths of the internet today listening to these music videos, it was profound sort of how he predicted a lot of this.
Yeah. The interesting piece of this in terms of celebrity is that you see a lot of major artists. Chance the Rapper was talking about this. Now, obviously, there's the Chicago connection there. And if you're coming out of the hip hop community here in Chicago, you're certainly going to be, you know, you're going to be familiar with the up and comers. And as like you mentioned, he has a top hit on urban radio right now. And so there's been a lot of, you know, big time stars coming out and paying their respects to him. And it wasn't, with the exception of the marijuana bust piece of this, and I guess there were also weapons found. Has that been confirmed
now? Yeah, there were two members of his security detail who had guns. I'm told that one of those individuals had a concealed carry ID and a FOID card. The other person did not.
Got it.
They're both, one had no bail. One had like a $1,500 bail. They're both out of jail. And that seems, you know, TMZ gets all this stuff, right. And you never know how legitimate it is because they pay for a lot of their sources. But TMZ is reporting that it was actually the pilot who called police about the guns, because having a gun on that kind of private jet is a big no-no. So I don't know if that's true or not. And I don't know if the drugs were an afterthought.
Well, the drugs, the other piece on that is, well, they may, obviously, when you have a death situation like that, they may want to be looking at that stuff. And also, there would be dogs that would be going to that area. I'm sure the dogs, you know, they've got dogs that are drug sniffing dogs at O'Hare, or at the Midway, I should say. And obviously, you know, they would take a hit on that. The thing that surprises me about this, though, I think one of the stories that may emerge is whose plane was that? Who had chartered that plane? And was he even aware of the fact that there was 70 pounds
right.
of marijuana on board the aircraft? Because 70 pounds of marijuana is, you know, that's not for the use of he and his band.
No, that's right? Next level.
Right. I mean, even Willie Nelson's tour bus does not have 70 pounds of marijuana on it, right?
Right.
So this is... There's some other story here, and you know, you just wonder if somebody was trying to use the cover of this guy flying around.
And you know, he had money. He's done so well. He lives in L.A. now with his girlfriend. And I found a New York Times interview from 2018. He said, "I smoke weed, and every now and then I slip up and do something that's poor judgment. I have a lot going for me. I recognize it's a lot of big things, a lot of big looks. I want to be there." And you don't have to overdose to not be there. And he told the reporter, "I'm not going to lie, last year has been kind of blurry for me." So he knew he was sort of going down the rabbit hole. But it sounds like he had a good enough head on his shoulders that he wouldn't have seen the need to transport that kind of marijuana. But who knows?
He's a brilliant young artist, though. I mean, at 21 years old, he'd already made an impact. And that's, you know, the sad part of this is that you have people who have this, and he's obviously, I mean, what you're talking about there, Megan, is so profound. I mean, he saw himself slipping into this.
That was his part of his craft, taking the pain. I mean, his lyrics, people may roll their eyes and be like, oh, you know, just another rapper, whatever. Yeah. But his lyrics were wise beyond his age, for sure. They were, you know, complicated.
Megan, thank you so much. Megan Dwyer.
Yep, thank you.
WGN TV News. It's the Rokan Show on 720 WGN. All right, we were just talking to Megan Dwyer from WGN TV News right before the news at the top of the hour about this story of the young hip-hop artist, Juice WRLD was his professional name, who died at Midway over the weekend. And I think in a lot of cases like young celebrities dying, there is a, you know, a sense of, well, you know, they brought it on themselves or what, drug use or whatever it happens to be, people in entertainment especially. But there is something, and I know, you know, I'm sure many people are not familiar with this young man's work. He was from Chicago. He's from Homewood Flossmoor. He has a really interesting backstory. He was not a his lyrics, I think, in a lot of ways, he was very much in that Tupac Shakur kind of world of, it was very thoughtful. There were a lot of things that were relevant and not necessarily. It's like that level up of art that hip hop can be. And so I know there's a lot of people out there. Some may be fans, some of their kids may be fans, or maybe aware of them. But I want to play something here that just for a second to that is relevant. We mentioned this in the interview. He released a song within the last year called Legends, in which he actually predicts his own death. Last time it was the drugs he was lacing. So he references the 27 Club there. That's the infamous club of musicians, especially Jimi Hendrix, Janis Joplin, started in the 1960s, and it's worked its way through through the music world for the last 5 decades, essentially, where stars die at the age of 27. And he said, you know, people mention the 27 Club, but forget about that. I'm not making it past 21. Well, he just turned 21 a few weeks ago. And then he died what appears to be at this point of a drug overdose at the private side terminal at Midway Airport. And yes, they found marijuana on the plane, 70 pounds of it. I think that's going to be an interesting story as it continues to develop, how that ended up being there. And was that actually related to him being on that plane or not related to being on that plane? But he is it's interesting what kind of a reaction there is emerging now from the Chicago music community, not just the hip hop community, about him, because he Lucid Dreams, which is his hit, it peaked at number 2 on the Billboard Hot 100. Do we have that? Because I want to, you may recognize this.
You left me falling and landing inside my grave. I know that you want me dead. I take prescriptions to make me feel okay. I know it's all in my head.
Interesting that he's been compared in the music industry, had been compared to Post Malone and Travis Scott. And so he's got he was definitely one of those guys that was on the rise. And obviously, it's a loss, not only obviously to his family who was here in Chicago and to the music industry and to the community. And you had outpouring from Chance the Rapper today, other known Chicago's Kanye West, all referring to him because of his incredibly introspective lyrics. It wasn't, you know, this was really a his music was a travel through a very introspective but yet disturbed, sad young mind. And obviously those kinds of things they sell effectively for whatever reason. And I think before people jump to conclusions here about what this is all about or sort of look the other way on this story, it is one of those moments where we have lost a potential emerging artist here who really had something to say. It would have been worthwhile to hear the other things he had to say, because a lot of it was about trying to overcome those demons. And I know that affects a lot of young people and old people as well. So that is a great tragedy that happened here over the weekend in Chicago, Juice WRLD's death. All right, coming up on the other side, I have to get back to something that we talked about a little bit earlier, which is the great Peloton controversy. There has been an update on the Peloton controversy. I will share it with you, and then I'm going to lose my mind. Don't anybody move. Let's check in right now with Roger Badish. What's happening on the roads and in the skies?
Get real in the morning with Larry Potash, Robin Baumgarten, and Paul Conrad, and the entire WGN-TV morning news team, weekdays 4 to 10.
Thank you, Andy Mazur, in for Kevin Powell today, and Roger Badish in for Lauren Lapka. The kids, as we like to call them around here, Kevin and Lauren, are in Mexico this week on the White Sox trip. Sox on the beach. And based on the pictures I've seen on the social media, there may be just more than socks on the beach. That's all I'm going to say. All right, I got to go back to this. We're talking about this as a top 5-5, and it's, it's kind of infuriating when you stop and you think about it. The Peloton ad, we're now in the second week of controversy over this. And Peloton turned out to have a huge drop in their stock price as a result of the release of this ad and the controversy that surrounded it. I never understood the controversy. So if you may be familiar with it by now, but let me just, again, share this with you. So it's an ad, basically, where a guy gives his wife a Peloton. And then she makes a video showing herself using it. And showing the, over a year, all the difference it's made in her physical fitness. And somehow, some way, this has been turned into some sort of sexist screed. And for no reason that I could possibly understand. Now, it's gotten so bad that the actor who plays the husband in this thing, Sean Hunter, Saturday Night Live did a bit about this, and they kind of worked it in over the weekend into the, I don't know, they had somehow had Melania Trump come out and represent. It would be too hard to explain the whole thing, the whole setup. But the bottom line is Melania Trump comes out and does a whole bit about Peloton. So then Sean Hunter, the actor, he gets all mad at Saturday Night Live because it's continuing the controversy, which is resulting in death threats for the guy.
I did see it. It was frustrating, actually, I'll be honest. I mean, they said the new Peloton ad is labeled as sexist. It was there in bold. And I disagree. They're reinforcing that that's what people are thinking about it. I don't feel that way. That's not the truth about the commercial at all. And so I know they're making a joke of it, but people are laughing at it and saying, ha-ha, this is the truth. This is how we feel. I don't like it. I love SNL, but when they make jokes of things, I mean, they should see the Instagram DMs I have. It's hurtful.
But, all right, we just want to ask this question. Would you be offended? I'm specifically speaking to women here. 312-981-7200. Would you be offended if your husband or boyfriend, lover, live-in, roommate, whatever, bought you a Peloton? Would you be offended by that? Why would you be offended by that?
It's ridiculous.
Yes, 312-981-7200. You, Kim Gordon, have a Peloton.
I do have a Peloton, and I asked for it, and I got it, and I love it.
Right.
But also, when you sign up to do a commercial, do you think there's going to be controversy? I mean, come on, you're looking to make some money. It's a commercial.
Well, I don't think that anybody anticipated that this was going to be controversial, and I, honest to God, believe that this was created by a Russian troll farm. There's got to be something, I don't know, maybe it's the people of the competitor. Peloton has competitors in the studio world. I don't know if they have an actual bike competitor out there.
I think there's one coming out soon.
Chinese, I'll bet it is.
I think it's Chicago-based, actually.
Or Chinese. Let's go with Chinese, because we're Chicago-based. I can't say the next thing I'm going to say.
Okay.
But, I mean, it's these things are, this is the kind of thing that actually, it's such a made-up controversy. And look at what it did. Had an economic impact. It screwed up the stock price, at least for a while, of Peloton. And then and we're debating this. My daughter, the same thing. My daughter just, they both got, my son-in-law bought my daughter a Peloton, or they bought it together, whatever it is. They couldn't be happier. They're both on it. They're both using it.
Let's wait and see the numbers after Christmas. I bet you they sell a lot. You know, they have two now. They have a bike and they also have a treadmill.
What is it? But aren't they just in the biking thing?
No.
They do both?
Well, no, you can get a treadmill and you can, you know, go online and have classes, but they take you through workouts on a treadmill instead of a bike. So you can go either way. But then when you have the screen, you know, you can do yoga classes, you can do stretching. There's a million different things that you can have once you have the app and you pay the monthly fee.
How much is the monthly fee?
Oh, I knew you were going to ask me that.
Doesn't matter.
I don't remember. It's not that expensive.
All right. Cheaper than going to the actual studios and doing
it. Yes, it actually works out to be cheaper. Yeah.
Although the bike is like $2,500 or something like that.
I've had mine for 5 years now, so I don't remember.
Oh, very interesting.
Yeah.
It's an early adopter. Mm-hmm. All right, to the phones we go. 312-981-7200. Tina, you're on WGN. Go ahead, Tina.
Yeah, hi. Well, first of all, I did not think that ad was offensive. I thought it was very sweet. And I just have to say that if my husband got me that Peloton, he would be a very happy man in many different ways, if you know what I'm saying.
Oh,
and I'm not talking recording a video of me using it for a year.
How open to you are you about phone videos? Anything else? Any other kind of recording? That is, to me...
It's ridiculous. I don't get it. I thought it was very sweet, and I liked their other... Last year, they had the commercials where it was sort of the twin commercial of she was buying it for him and hid it somewhere, and then he bought hers and hid it in the garage with the tag, and she figured it out and was going out and using it in the garage. And, like, that's... They are very creative with their ads in terms of how people can show their appreciation and love to their partner by buying them a Peloton.
Yes, because it's going to keep you alive longer, theoretically. That's what they keep telling me.
Absolutely.
Tina, thank you very much. Appreciate it. Let's talk to Fran. You're on WGN. Go ahead, Fran.
Hi, Ro. When they first started this controversy and they were saying something about, you know, fat shaming because she's already skinny and he's telling her that she still needs to work out and stuff like that, I was thinking, how would they have felt if his wife wasn't skinny and he gave her a Peloton? Then he'd be fat shaming, right? Not here, honey, I want, you know, let's get healthy. It's like, you can't win. Whichever way they did it, they weren't going to win.
Right.
And I mean, you're trying to help somebody get healthy or just keep them active. It's stupid.
Thanks, Fran. Appreciate
I'll take
it.
One.
Mira, you're on WGN. Go ahead, Mira.
Hi, we're right on with the last three people you just talked to. I don't get it either. Do these people really have that low self-esteem and are ashamed of their bodies and this is how they're, like, reacting to this? I don't understand. I really don't. And where is the outcry when they see Nordic Track commercials? Like, what? I'm not understanding why they're taking it out on Peloton. I mean, granted, the only complaint I have is the girl is, like, perfectly fit to begin with. And, you know, I could see maybe how somebody's like, well, you know, marketing-wise, do you show someone that's a little bit on the heavier side, do you do this, or do you promote, you know, staying in shape? I don't understand the outrage that this is sexist. I don't get it. I just don't.
Generally, in ads for workout equipment, they always show people who are in shape because it's aspirational,
sure.
Right? But
absolutely.
But the whole idea that they're taking somebody in shape and you're fat shaming them and it turns them into, you know, some sort of body dysmorphic kind of individual. We're so caught in our own heads now culturally
about
things. We're just easily, we are the most offended we have ever been. And you got to stop and think about the things that, like, the human condition around the globe, around the planet Earth. And you think we're offended by this crap. And then you wonder why they hate us, you know, whoever they are. Because they look at us and go, that's a controversy. People are eating sand right now in 2/3 of the world. And they're looking at us and going, why are they? Look. They've got a bike. They can't, you know, these people walk 60 miles for a glass of water. And we're worried about, and they're worried about people losing weight by being on a bike that doesn't go anywhere. I mean, that's the crazy thing.
And spending, what is it, a minimum of, I think
it's like $2,500
to purchase one. And then you have to pay for the, you know, video.
The app and the whole thing, right?
The whole thing, the whole package. But for the life of me, you're right. I think the whole world has just gone completely batty.
Yes, thank you. Mira, I appreciate
it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
All right. We got the news coming your way from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom right here. It's the Ro Khan Show right here on 720 WGN. And it's time for Drive to the Game, brought to us by the Illinois Department of Transportation. Normally, we would be talking to a Blackhawk at this particular moment, but Connor Murphy's still mad at me about how I treated his mother. I thought I treated her with incredible respect. Incredible respect. But I talked to her more than I talked to him, and I think he's a little salty about that. I'm not quite sure. Or they're on the road. It's one or the other. I can't tell. Nick Ismonte, who is, of course, now the rinkside reporter for NBC Sportsnet here in Chicago, is with us, and you're no Connor Murphy. I'm just gonna say that. I'm glad you shaved the mustache, by the way.
This is so much better, right?
Yeah.
You know what's crazy about this though? People keep coming up to me, like at the game last night. The amount of people that came up to me at the United Center, I'm like, you should have kept it. I'm like, wait, where was this? Like, I was getting chirped like there was no tomorrow Twitter.
Let me chirp one more thing at you, because I realized after we saw you at the United Center a couple of weeks ago when we were talking about this, there was something you were reminding me of, something I couldn't quite figure it out. It reminded me of a kid in like fifth grade in the play where they put a mustache on him to make him the adult, you know, in the play. And I'm like, it's just not for, you know, it's stubble's great. I mean, everybody loves a stubble. Yeah. You look great. You know, but the mustache, only cops and firefighters can pull off the mustache.
Yeah. Pat Boyle's been calling. If I don't shave, so this morning, I know you can't see right now, but I've got like the ghost of the mustache right now. It's that not shaven, you know, for 24 hours look. I'm Italian. Just give it 5 days. The 5 o'clock shadow comes in at 2.
Yeah, exactly. 9 o'clock in the morning. Yeah. All right, let's talk a little bit about the situation we find ourselves in here with the Blackhawks. First of all, it's not great that Andrew Shaw now is on the IR. That means something totally different than it does in football or baseball, but he will be available after December 27th, and it does open up some room to go out and get somebody, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think the move right now is you're not going to see them make any trades for anybody. You're not going to see them do anything kind of crazy like that. I think it's a wait and see right now.
No white flag here, right?
No. I think the problem is, listen, concussions nowadays in hockey have taken on such a giant meaning, right?
Right.
And you're so much more careful with it, and you're so much more calculated on the return. Same thing with Drake Caggiula right now. Feels good, but it's not about being 99%. You got to be 100% before you come back. And these guys, and I'm talking about the athletes and Jeremy Calton, the head coach, who, by the way, ended his career because of concussions, are very sensitive to it. They're very careful with it. And it's just one of those things where you really don't know the timeline. So I don't know as though it's going to take all the way till the 27th for Andrew Shaw to feel better, but in the world that we live in now in the NHL with cap space and everything like that, it's smarter to put him on long-term injured reserve, let him get 100% healthy, bring him back, and it gives you an opportunity to clear some cap space, bring some guys up from the minors, from Rockford, that can step in and try their hand. And it's not a bad thing.
You know, we should talk a little bit about concussions in sports, period, because it obviously has become a huge issue, yeah. CTE and all of that. We're starting to become, obviously because of the studies during the Iraq War of folks who, you know, were there and got injured either by concussive, you know, being too close to an explosion or whatever it happened to be. And you start to see this change in people's behavior. And that has been going on in wartime and in athletics forever and ever and ever. People like literally lead with their head. And now we've become very, very aware of what the actual changes in the brain are, and you can see it on an MRI and all of that. And the NFL were the first to like start, you know, you had these athletes either killing themselves or going through a series of other kinds of personal problems. And then the NFL was getting hit seriously and hard with lawsuits. The NHL wants to avoid that, and the NHL has known forever and ever and ever. I mean, it probably, you know, by a per capita basis of players, probably has more than the NFL has.
Well, there's different ways you get hit in the game of hockey, right? There's obviously contact that is made between body and body. There's difficult contact that's made into the boards, sometimes on the stanchions, and they've done some things and adjusted the rink to avoid that a little bit. But then there's also contact that happens in open ice, which is clean body on body, but then the player, you know, loses their balance or can't control their fall and then makes contact with the ice on the way down. So there's multiple ways in the game of hockey. I mean, even when they were kids.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, and they say that about football as well. But, you know, it doesn't. You don't necessarily have to hit your head. It could be the rapid deceleration that actually can cause it. And that's where you run into, you know, because these guys are moving fast, right? You could be moving 20 miles an hour on those skates. And so if you, you know, hitting the board or whatever it happens to be is really a thing. And so with Andrew Shaw, especially the way he has played the game of hockey, you definitely want to be careful with him. There's no question about it. And he's a beloved legend. We'll come back. back. Hold on one second.
Yeah.
Nick Ismondi is with us. We'll be right back with him. But first, let's check in with Roger Badish. What's happening with the traffic and the weather? All right. Nick Ismondi is with us. You know, he is the face, the voice, the eternal spirit of the Chicago Blackhawks now and the NBC Sports Chicago.
I like that.
And this is, by the way, we are doing our Blackhawks segment here with Nick because Connor Murphy is not available to us today. This is the Drive to the Game brought to you by the Illinois Department of Transportation. And Connor, they're on the road, right? They're on their way to wherever they are on their way to because it's West Coast for these next couple of
days. Little Vegas. We got some Vegas in the mix, so they're there right now. So my old home, but they're getting ready to take on the Golden Knights tomorrow. Big test for those guys, too. So.
Everything seems like it's a big test right now.
It is.
What do you assume is going on here?
I think it's a team that's trying to find out what their identity is, and right now it's inconsistency. But that's,
they had it. They were moving like 3 weeks when we were there 3 weeks ago.
Yep.
You saw them starting to play. They were aggressive. They were trying to get ahead fast. Right. They were trying. There was speed at the beginning, and I think that's a bit of what's being coached here, right, in Jeremy Colliton's system, and. They were getting to the puck. They were trying to keep the puck in their end. I mean, that's, you know, in the opponent's end, I should say. And it just doesn't seem that they are able to keep that up. Is it a personnel issue?
I don't think so. I think it's a great team across the board. I think they have what they need to be successful. I think it's now just a matter of finding that consistency. And I was talking with somebody earlier about this as well. And here's my take on it. Think about, it's the holidays, right? So we're all gathering with family. Think about Thanksgiving dinner. If you're somebody that comes from
a big family. I try not to, but go ahead.
Yeah, but bear with me on this for half a second. So think about Thanksgiving dinner. You're with your whole family, right? And let's say you remove four or five of those family members and you bring in the second or third cousins who you haven't seen in four or 5 years, right? And then maybe the conversation at dinner isn't exactly the same as it was, you know, when those immediate family members.
Getting to know each other is your point.
Yeah, you're getting to know each other, and these injuries really are hindering that a little bit too, because you've got a bit of a rotation and a pipeline coming from Rockford on a moderately consistent basis, and you're missing some big pieces right now. You're missing Andrew Shaw, you're missing Dylan Strome for a bit, now you're missing Duncan Keith. So now you've got a lot of younger guys that have come up, and they're great, and the boys love them, and they'll bring them into the room, but there is, no matter what, an adjustment period. So finding a stride.
And names that are coming in, like DeHaan and guys like that, that you need to get used to their style of play.
100%. DeHaan's, Carpenter's, Robin Leonard has been a giant addition to this hockey team, both on the ice and as a leader. So, you know, I think they're just kind of figuring it out. I think they have all the right pieces. Now it's just a matter of putting it together and keeping that consistent. The biggest word right now for them is inconsistency. They just haven't been able to put it together over the course of 10 games. And as soon as they start to do that, you're going to see good things happen.
Okay, you promise?
I promise.
I'm asking Santa right now.
On my word right now, my friend.
You're hockey Santa. I love hockey. I love the Blackhawks. I've always loved the Blackhawks. It's an honor to be finally on the same station as the Blackhawks. For years and years and years and years, I wasn't, and I still had to, you know, somehow sneak my allegiance in. I cannot understand how we have gotten where we've gotten here, because you do have a ton of great talent. And Jeremy Colliton, I get why they hired him. I totally do. I mean, like a lot of Hawks fans, I didn't think Q was the problem. But, you know, that's what happens. The chief gets shot in situations like that. But this is a situation that I think is astounding, because you got a core, and Kane and Taves couldn't have played better last year, right? I mean, these are two guys. I know you were in Las Vegas last year, but you're watching all of this.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, these two guys were on fire, and Patrick Kane, you know, he was playing as well as he was early in his career last year. And you're thinking, well, if they're playing like that, why are we having the problem? And we obviously couldn't stop offenses from getting deep and setting up well on our side of the ice, and that was our problem behind our blue line, and that was that. And if you allow guys to set up, and we just didn't seem to have that big deep presence that we were, you know, best known for.
And I think that's probably the area that is most focused on this year. It's establishing that presence inside of their own zone and then working on that breakout, transitioning better. At the start of the season, that's the one thing we were talking about a lot. It was, okay, be simpler on your transition. Get through the neutral zone with minimum effort. And if you have to, as soon as you cross that center line, go ahead and just dump the puck in, and then we'll set up offensively. And I think they teeter-totter back and forth with that a little bit right now.
Able to set up. I hate to get all exactly. X's and O's here because it's hard to see when you can't see it. But, which is obvious, what I've noticed is they have done that. They have dumped in,
yep.
And they're not getting to their own puck.
So it's chipping it to better, more recoverable areas. Well, so instead of crossing that center line, okay, for the hockey fans that don't know exactly what we're talking about, it's the middle line in the middle of the ice right there. Mm-hmm. They cross that line, they can dump it in without it being icing. So what you want to do is you want to dump to a retrievable area. So rather than going all the way to the corner with it or whipping it around the boards and letting the goalie play it or letting their defense get to it, you want to cross that red line and chip it in. So a lighter dump off the boards to the top of the circle or the hash marks so that it's easier to recover. That's where opposing defense hates to go and pick up pucks. It's a tough area. You're 50-50. You're not going out. You're not coming in.
Right.
And you can jump on pucks right there. Exactly. Yeah. A little bit easier.
And it's harder for them because they're going backwards.
Exactly. Yeah. So you want to kind of chip to recoverable areas, but when you get under pressure sometimes in neutral ice, it doesn't go to plan. So I think it's just about managing their transition and being a little bit safer and getting more of an opportunity to set up offensively. And then, of course, shutting things down in the defensive zone.
Yes, there is all of that.
It's easier said than done. I don't think it's X's and O's with these guys. I think they're going to figure it out. And I think this is going to be, you're going to be pleasantly surprised with what this team pulls out.
One thing that Connor Murphy hates when he's on the
Connor,
program. I love him. I love him. And I have such respect for him.
He's awesome.
But the one thing he hates is when I pretend I know what I'm talking about. And that's the thing is that because the players, we were talking about this earlier with Luke and Ellis about Mitchell Trubisky. It's really when Mitchell Trubisky's getting all these, you know, guys, 400 pounders are sitting at home going, this guy's no athlete. You know, I mean, it's like, but we're fans and we want the best for all of these guys. And the one argument that you consistently hear now with Hawks fans is that the unsung hero of the great run from 2009 really on to 2015 was Marian Hossa. It was because Marian Hossa is the difference maker there on transition and all the rest of that. The greatest two-way player maybe in the game.
I would agree. I think Marian Hossa, I have always been a fan of his. I think that not only is he a great two-way player, but as good as he was with the puck, he was even better without it. And those are the kind of players that you really are drawn to, that you really love, power forward type guys that can do things just as well without the puck as they can with it, that make things happen. And, you know, I think the Hawks do have guys like that. And I think you're going to see guys like Jonathan Toews get hot. He's already starting to put in big goals and big moments. And you got DeBrincat getting hot again too.
Who's a name that we're not thinking about right now that you think is going to be a big time player in the second half here?
Dylan Strome. I think Dylan.
I have his pepper or salt shaker. I'm not sure which.
With him and DeBrincat.
Yes. Yeah. It's the Hawks, they do something for the holidays every year. Last year it was a gravy bowl made out of the Zamboni, which is not called a Zamboni, an ice resurfacer or whatever they call it.
That's an Olympia. They still make Zambonis. Yeah.
So it is really, they did a salt and pepper shaker for Strome and DeBrincat. I'm not sure which goes with which, but it's you put that on the holiday table. That at least starts a conversation, back to your earlier point. Nick, thanks so much for being with us. Nick Gizmondi, you get to see him on the Hawks broadcasts from Chicago for sure, and then we'll be seeing you on the road, too, I can assure you of that.
Love it.
Thank you, my friend. Appreciate it. Thank you, guys.
Thank you so much.
All right, we've got the news coming up at the top of the hour for the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom, and then, I always forget his name. What is the guy that's coming up after? I'll think of it. Just hold on.